जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट 22। इट्स अ फेमस वर्स, अ वेरी स्वीट वर्स एज वेल, इन फैक्ट इट्स अ नाइस वर्स टू मेमोराइज। किम दुष्करैर्न क्रतुभिस्तपो व्रतैर् दानादिभिर्वाद्युजयेन फल्गुना, न यत्र नारायण पाद पंकज स्मृति प्रमुष्टातिशयेन्द्रियोत्सवात्। इफ यू ब्रेक इट डाउन, इट इज प्रमुष्ट अतिशय इंद्रिय उत्सवात। इंद्रिय उत्सवात मीन फेस्टिवल फॉर द सेंसेस, और हियर इट्स जस्ट ड्यू टू मटेरियल सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन। किम दुष्करैर्न क्रतुभिस्तपो व्रतैर् दानादिभिर्वाद्युजयेन फल्गुना, न यत्र नारायण पाद पंकज स्मृति प्रमुष्टातिशयेन्द्रियोत्सवात्। किं दुष्करैर्न कृतुभिस्त्रपो व्रतैर् दानादिभिर्वाद्युजयेन फल्गुना न यत्र नारायणपादपङ्कज स्मृते प्रमुष्टातिशयेन्द्रियोत्सवात् किं दुष्करैर्न क्रतुभिस्तपो व्रतैर् Kim, what is the value? Dushkarahi, very difficult to perform. Naha, our. Kratubihi, with performances of sacrifice. Tapaha, with austerities. Vratahi, vows. Dana adibihi, with executing charitable activities and so on. Ba, or Dyujayena, with achieving the heavenly kingdom. Phalguna, which is insignificant. Na, no. Yatra, where. Narayana Pada Pankaja, of the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Smritihi, the remembrance. Pramushta, lost. Atishaya, excessive. Indriya Utsavat, due to material sense gratification. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The demigods continue. After performing the very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, undergoing austerities, observing vows, and giving charity, we have achieved this position as inhabitants of the heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? Here we are certainly very engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. Purport. The land of Bharatavarsha is so exalted that by taking birth there, one can not only attain the heavenly planets, but also go directly back home, back to Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 25, Yanti deva vrata devan pitrun yanti pitavvata bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. People in the land of Bharatavarsha generally follow the Vedic principles and consequently perform great sacrifices by which they can be elevated to the heavenly planets. However, what is the use of such great achievements, attainments? As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. After the results of one's sacrifices, charity and other pious activities expire, one must return to the lower planetary systems and again feel the pangs of birth and death. However, one who becomes Krishna conscious can go back to Krishna. Yanti Madhya Jinopimam. Therefore, the demigods even regret having been elevated to the higher planetary systems. The denizens of the heavenly planets regret that they could not take full advantage of being born in the land of Bharatavarsha. Instead, they become captivated by a higher standard of sense gratification, and therefore they forgot the lotus feet of Lord Narayana at the time of death. The conclusion is that one who has taken birth in the land of Bharatavarsha must follow the instructions given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. One should try to return home, back to Godhead, to the Vaikuntha planets, or to the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan, to live eternally in full blissful knowledge in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadati Sva Padantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sometimes when we have something very valuable, then we may not recognize the value of that valuable thing, but others may do. Either because we got it easily, or we don't know how we got it, it has come about, then our sense of valuing something is very less. But others who don't have something, they understand. For example, if we were born in a family where food is not of any shortage, then we don't understand the value of every grain or morsel of food. But those who are starving, they would kill for a meal. They understand something that they don't have when someone else has. They understand how valuable it is. So point of training, I'm getting right into it. No build up, if you will. So let me make a disclaimer first. I'm the type who I don't say much quite often. And when I say something, then I say it with a bunch of seriousness behind it. And I see my service very much that my service is to, as I'm cultivating my own Krishna consciousness, is to train the devotees that I'm caring for, which is all of you. So some things that I like to bring attention to, either because I observed something or I heard something, is, let's say, the value of prasadam. Because we get it without working too much for it, sometimes we don't understand the value of it. So either we waste it or we don't eat it, especially, you know, if it's leftover. Who wants the leftovers? Generally the tendency is to go for the fresh one or serve a lot and then discard it or throw away prasadam. That comes because these things have been coming to us easily. We didn't understand fully the value of it. Or the facility to live in Krishna's house. There are many, the demigods, they are lamenting that we're living in heavenly planets with so much comfort. It's unbelievable the amount of comfort we have. Yet, look at those persons, the human beings. They're born in the land of Bharatavarsha, earthly planet. They're very fortunate. In fact, we, although we have all of the facilities, we're not as fortunate as the human beings are. Why? Because they have the access to going back to Krishna, which we don't have. So among those human beings, the few handful of us are staying in Krishna's house. Even more fortunate. And what is our qualification to come and live in Kishore Kishori's house, for example? Nothing. Not only are we not qualified, we're actually disqualified. Yet it's a stroke of some massive fortune that we get to come and stay with Kishore Kishori in their house. We just have to walk down the stairs and voila, there they are. The Vaikuntha is, we're living in Vaikuntha. Sometimes it may not feel like that. Thankfully it doesn't feel like that. There's a reason, no? So we remember, oh, I still need to work on my Krishna consciousness. So everything that's available for us is of some extreme value. And how we care for it is important. And Krishna will look at all of us. Are you valuing what I'm giving to you? Are you valuing what I'm giving you? Because if we don't value, then Krishna will say, oh, maybe you don't need it. Someone else who wants it will get it. If you don't value it, that's okay. Yeah? So the onus is on us that every little thing in the temple, upstairs, downstairs, temple room, here, there, that we value it carefully. That is almost reverential for us. The reason I brought it up is I downstairs I saw the prasadam hall. I was a little shocked. It's like there was a frat party there last night. The tables are in disarray, the chairs are in disarray. You know, and I was thinking, how much can poor Daita look at everything? We're all there. We can pitch in and do some. So this morning, before breakfast, let's put the place back together. I mean, it's like chairs are all over the place, the tables are in disarray, the stuff on the floor. It's how we value things that Krishna has given us. That's this in app. This is a personal application of this verse. Now, broader context: the demigods are looking at the human beings, and then saying, "Well, look at us. We have performed very, very great sacrifices, kratubihi, Vedic sacrifices. And we've also conducted ourselves in a very austere manner, tapaha, meditating for thousands of years, or living a very, very strict life of abnegation. And vrata means vows. Taking a vow and living by those vows is not easy. And they've executed it very, very nicely. Or dana, they've given in charity. And you know, what kind of charity? These persons have given charity that we can't even fathom. There was a king. What is his name? Starts with the U. Huh? Not Nimi. Starts with the U. Who cut off the pigeon. What's his name? Shibi. Not with the U. The S. Sorry. Shibi. Shibi. King Shibi. You know the story of King Shibi? Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam. There was a king called Shibi. And he was so famous for being charitable that anyone could ask anything from him and he would give it away. So the word spread to the heavenly realms, to Lord Indra, that there is a king called Shibi who is very charitable. So King Indra wanted to test this person's sense of charity. So King Indra took the form of an eagle, and Agni took the form of a pigeon, and this eagle was chasing or pursuing the pigeon for food. That was the plot. So the pigeon comes flying in when Maharaj Shibi is conducting a sacrifice, one of the sessions where he is giving away in charity. So the pigeon comes and sits on King Shibi's lap. He's shivering. So King Shibi says, "Why are you worried? What's wrong?" He says, "That eagle is pursuing me. He wants to eat me up." So King Shibi says, "Now that you've taken shelter of me, don't worry. The eagle cannot do anything to you. I will talk to the eagle." So eagle comes and says to King Shibi, "That is my food. According to the natural laws that Krishna has created, that pigeon is my food and you're denying me my food." So King Shibi said, "Well, since the pigeon has taken shelter of me, in return, I will cut meat or flesh of my own body and give it to you, which is equal in weight to the pigeon's weight." The eagle said, "Oh, that's fair enough. I'll accept that." So they brought a weighing scale. On one side of the pan scale was the pigeon. And King Shibi cut off from his own thigh his flesh and kept on the other side of the pan scale. How heavy can a pigeon be, right? You know what happened? As he put a big lump of flesh here, the pigeon became heavier. So I said, "Oh, those guys are, you know, you've met people who are skinny but really heavy." So it's like, "Wow, what is this pigeon?" So he cut some more flesh off his body and put it on the pan scale. Pigeon became heavier. He cut some more, he kept on cutting flesh out of his body. Just to, because he has given his word that I in charity I will give my flesh. The pigeon became heavier and heavier. And finally king decided no more pieces of flesh. He himself sat in the pan scale saying, "I'll give myself away. I'll give my life up for this pigeon." And suddenly the pigeon and eagle transformed themselves into Agni and Indra, saying, "There is no person as charitable as you are. We just came to test, and you've passed this test. This is charity." Or Kulavecha Sridhar, we read a few weeks ago, that his sense of charity was so intense that it didn't matter how much do I have for myself. Whatever they earned was given for the benefit of others. Charity, by definition, means for the benefit of others. But if charity is meant to benefit ourselves, then that's not charity. That is called sense gratification. So Krishna warns us in the Bhagavad Gita, don't give charity where you get some benefit back. Then it is sense gratification. It should be done exclusively for the benefit of others, specifically in service of Krishna. Of course, when we say benefit of others, if you're not serving Krishna, we can't benefit anyone anyway. Right? What's the use of feeding a poor fellow some food which is not prasadam? We haven't benefited the man. His hunger may be satisfied for one meal, but he'll feel hungry again. Or if you give prasadam, then there is eternal spiritual benefit. Eternal spiritual benefit. We've been discussing. Last night we started Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. This Bhakti Rasa is Amrita. Amrita means eternal, correct? That which does not end. So little prasadam has more value than tons of food you give someone for free in charity. It has no value because it ends with this life. So the demigods, they have done in their previous lives so much charity, so much austerity, so many Vedic sacrifices to become qualified to become demigods and live in the heavenly realms where there is unlimited sense gratification. Atishaya Indriya Utsavat. Atishaya means excessive. And they have every facility that one can conceive of. And yet, they are lamenting their position. It says, Kim Dushkarai. Now, Kim is, what's the value of all of this? What's the value? Because of all the sense gratification and facilities, we don't find it of any value because our position as demigods and this fantastic sense gratification has a problem. The problem is Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Pramushta. Smriti means remembrance of Krishna. Remembrance. Narayana Pada Pankaja, the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Pramushta. Pramushta means forgotten or lost. They're saying we have so much sense gratification facility that we have lost our memory of Krishna. This is why the first lesson of spiritual life is stay away from sense gratification. Acharya quoted this verse from Bhagavad Gita the other day. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apaharata chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhau na vidhiyate. Where there is sense gratification, one's intelligence cannot come towards Krishna. It will just not happen. We'll have to be groping in the dark. In fact, the sense gratification is so much that one doesn't think of Krishna. So the corollary is also true. The reduction in sense gratification provides the facility for remembrance of Krishna. And we have experience, correct? Whenever we have fallen into the mode of sense gratification, Krishna is nowhere in the picture. True? Yeah, we all have experience. And whenever we have made a determination to control our senses, we remember Krishna. To whatever degree, but we remember. So these two don't go together. Sense gratification and remembrance of Krishna. Prabhupada says they go ill together. And the common example Prabhupada would give is having one foot, it's like rowing with one foot in one boat and another foot or the other foot in another boat. What happens? You fall into the river. You cannot manage. You cannot do this and a little of this and a little of that. Doesn't work. There's a beautiful story of one of the Vaishnava Acharyas called Yamuna Acharya. Yamuna Acharya, I'm not going to go into the story of when he was 12 years old, but when he was 12, he had defeated a super scholar. And he became, as part of the wager between the king and the queen, there was a wager that if Yamuna, the 12-year-old boy, defeats this super scholar, the king will give half his kingdom to this boy. And Yamuna naturally, he did, he won the contest. So he became a king when he was 12 years old. He was the grandson of Nathamuni, who is the most prominent Acharya for the Sri Vaishnavas. So entire Vaishnava line was under Namacharya, not Namacharya, Nathamuni, sorry. And he was looking at Yamunacharya as the next heir for the entire Sampradaya. But Yamuna became a king. And once he became a king, imagine at 12 being a king. He had so much facility for sense gratification. It's unbelievable. Suddenly so much opulence came. And I'm going to bring this back to our situation as well. So story is always very nice. So he became king, he had servants and maid servants and chaperones and elephants and horses and gold and treasury and fantastic what's called Rajbhog every day. And he lost it. He became such a sense gratifier that he forgot praying to Krishna, he forgot all his prayers, his chanting, everything went away. So his grandfather became worried. How do I salvage and save this lost soul? The other day one devotee came. He has a t-shirt. His t-shirt said, "Lost souls." Jai Jagannath Prabhu and I said, "Can we also have one for ourselves?" Because it's about lost souls. So Nathamuni said, "He's a lost soul. What to do? If you go to the person and say, hey, what's going on? Wake up. Come out of sense gratification." Most likely the answer will be, "No way. Get out of here." So Nathamuni had to devise a plan for his grandson. He sent one of his devotees. Said, "You please go and somehow reawaken his Krishna consciousness away from sense gratification." Said, "All right." Now, if you notice, this is a principle Narada Muni gives, that when we are suffering from the effects of sense gratification, the remedy is also sense gratification, but of a different kind. You've heard this analogy Prabhupada gives? When a person has a bad stomach because of excessive indulgence in milk products, the remedy is another milk product, which is yogurt, and that stops the dysentery and cures the person from the bad stomach. So sense gratification, the solution is sense gratification of a different kind. We'll explain that again. So this person came and he said, "How do I meet the king?" You know, any ordinary person cannot come and say, "I want to meet the king," right? He has a palace, he has guards and doormen. So this devotee, he made friends with the royal cook. And every day he would bring a particular spinach type, spinach that was very, very tasty. And he knew that Yamunacharya liked it. So he would give the cook the spinach. "You please cook this for the king." And you would get the fresh variety. So the cook started making this spinach as part of the everyday, you know, entree, I guess. So Yamuna used to eat this. Very nice. And he kept feeding that spinach for a whole year, every day. So every day now he started looking forward to the spinach dish in his lunch. And after 1 year, one day he just stopped abruptly. He didn't bring any spinach. So the cook was like, whatever, and he made his lunch. Guess what the kings did? He said, "Where's the spinach dish? I have become addicted to this spinach dish. Where is the spinach dish? Call the royal cook. Why didn't you make the spinach?" "Oh, today I didn't get the supply of the spinach." "Oh, who gives you the spinach?" "Oh, there's a person who comes. Go find him. Call him here." So this way, he had the easiest access to the king. The king was now looking for him. And when this devotee came in front of Yamuna, he said, I've been told you bring this wonderful spinach every day. Why did you stop? He said, I wanted to meet with you, and this was my way of coming in front of you. He said, yes, what would you need from me? He says, I've come because I want to remind you that your grandfather has left a lot of treasure for you. But you're looking for that treasure in the wrong place. The treasure is the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. He has given you access to that treasure. But you're looking for something else all over the place. This is not going to help you. And those words of the devotee were so strong and so helpful for him at that moment. Because that spinach had its effect. That Yamuna said, you're right. Look at me. I've become this king as full in sense gratification and I've lost. Like he says, Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Pramushta. He said, I'm giving up everything. He got up from his throne, walked out of his palace and gave up his kingdom. And said, I don't want this treasure. This is useless. This treasure will end with my life or some other king will challenge me in battle and go away. All this will go away. I want the lotus feet of the Lord. And he gave up, walked straight back to Natha Muni and became Yamuna Acharya. The Acharya for the entire Sri Vaishnava line. So the sooner we understand the uselessness of sense gratification, we are to benefit. Now, the story has practical application. You know, we've come from different backgrounds, and somehow or the other, without any necessarily performing any great austerities or vratas or vows, we've entered the transcendental kingdom, the lotus feet of Kishore Kishori and Srila Prabhupada. And suddenly, all these facilities are available. People who speak nicely to us. Welcome Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Has anyone had meals the way we do prior to this? Be honest. I mean, if you do say, then I'll move to your house. But the kind of food we eat is unbelievable. And one reason we know it's unbelievable, because we can't digest it. That's why we're falling sick, right? Imagine eating barfi every day. Imagine the kind of rich food we get. We like to settle down for granola, I guess, or something. You know, oh, this is good enough for me. Because we can't digest it. We're just not used to such kind of opulence. You know, fried this, milk that, sweet rice this, brown barfi, sandesh, rasgulla, gulab jamun. Arimo? Look at that blissful smile on his face. He's really happy. Pizzas, pakoras, what's this whole fancy stuff? Samosas. Where's the samosa people? Thank you. All this wonderful thing. Suddenly it comes. And although it is Krishna's prasadam, because our the risk that we may approach it in a sense gratification mentality, we forget Krishna. Wonderful house to live in, you know, devotees. This is the greatest opulence. More than prasadam and all that, the greatest opulence is the devotees of Krishna. And we forget in that association. We tend to forget Krishna. We're supposed to be reminded of Krishna. We forget because we're approaching it, or we may approach it, I shouldn't say we are, we may approach it with a sense gratification mentality. So then all that facility that is meant to remind us of Krishna becomes the facility for us to forget Krishna. And since we're studying Nectar of Devotion, it's described that there are only two principles to always remember. Everything else, even if you don't remember, that's fine. Right? What are those two? Always remember Krishna. And second one? Never forget Him. Every other thing that we do in terms of rules and regulations. Oh, I'm in this unclean dhoti, I cannot enter the kitchen. That's a rule. Or I can't just walk into the cooler and today take away something from Krishna's cooler because whatever is the reason. The kitchen is sacred, the altar is sacred. We can't do certain things. We can do. We have to follow certain do's and follow certain do-nots. But if we don't remember why we're doing this, we fall into the risk of, what's that? Say it confidently. Niyama agraha. Niyama agraha means to break the rules, or niyama agraha means become so attached to the rule that we forget why we're doing it in the first place. Yeah? So the idea is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. But when we are in the sense gratification mode, we are servants of Maya. And Maya also has only two rules. What are those two rules? Always forget Krishna and never remember him. This is in the nectar of sense gratification. And in the nectar of devotion, it says always remember Krishna. Now, which nectar are we after? That's the question. The moment we are in the nectar of sense gratification, it's always forget Krishna. Forget him. It's okay. Forget him. Now, just now. You can remember him later. Right now. This is how she tricks us. So in the demigods, unfortunately, they're enjoying the nectar of sense gratification. Or they're explaining. It's an expression of humility, actually. That look at us. You have such facility. You have done so much Vedic sacrifices. We have done so much austerities. We have done so much charity. And yet, we feel that we are not as fortunate as those who are born on earth planet and are trying to be devotees of Krishna. Very, very important lesson. That the moment we forget, the moment we not forget Krishna, the moment we accept sense gratification, we forget Krishna. And it's not like there is a time gap between I chose sense gratification, a few hours later I forgot Krishna. It happens instantly. The moment we choose sense gratification, memory of Krishna is gone. So as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, our duty, our first order of business, is to be very alert about the tendency to fall into sense gratification. Now, because we are practicing Krishna consciousness, going from 100% sense gratification to zero is quite a challenge. Although that's the call to action. So the way we tackle it is, in every circumstance that we are in that circumstance we learn to choose Krishna. Then it's from zero to 100. If you look at the whole day and say, wow, from 3:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night, no sense gratification, that's a little unreal, isn't it? I'll choose certain pockets of sense gratification. Then we will forget Krishna. One way to work out of sense gratification is how we engage our time. How we use time in Krishna's service will help us stay away from sense gratification. So, what happens when there is a lot of discretionary time? What happens? A lot of discretionary time. Discretionary means I don't have anything to do, I have time. What happens? The mind runs because I have time. And the time energy has to engage us in activities. It's not possible, the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, it's not possible to do nothing. even for a moment. So when we have discretionary time and not engaged at that, during that time, if you're not engaged, then we should know that for sure we will be in sense gratification mode. That's one. So how to use discretionary time is very, very important. In fact, the discretionary time must be filled with service, some service or the other, hearing, chanting, some engaging, hearing from someone else, serving a devotee or something. That's one. And the second place where sense gratification nicely creeps in surreptitiously, but without our noticing, is when we move from one service to another service. We finished one, we were about to take on another service in the day. And if the transition is not quick enough, that I finished this service, now I take on another one, in that little gap, sense gratification enters. And we tend to forget Krishna. So if you notice the life of Srila Prabhupada, there was no such discretionary time. Or when there was discretionary time, Prabhupada would sing kirtan or speak to devotees or chant Hare Krishna, something like that. And Prabhupada switched from one service to another, one service to another, without any wastage of time. Very important. Okay, those are some thoughts. Any comments or questions? Show the dandana. Yashoda Dandana. Everyone's wondering, who's that?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, could you speak a little bit about the role of peer relationships, especially when, you know, as when trying to avoid this trap of, you know, let's say forgetfulness of Krishna entering, the things that we may do just on a daily basis, because I've noticed the tendency can be very judgmental and like, oh, Prabhu, you're in Maya and I'm in Maya too, but I'm still saying it. Like, I don't know, that's my conception, so I'm not very clear, so I usually don't say anything. But
well,
I
we
know
can
that's
say,
not
Prabhu,
beneficial.
We are in Maya. Well, in any exchange between two devotees, let's say between ourselves and others, we should take it upon ourselves that the reason I'm coming to exchange with another devotee is somehow or the other my remembrance of Krishna is awakened and my service to other devotees that I can assist in their remembering of Krishna. It can be something that's consciously done. Or, as we develop as a devotee, then it's subconscious within us anyway. You know, when you go to a very senior devotee, let's say in the presence of the spiritual master, it's but obvious that we'll remember Krishna. In fact, even if we have some problems, when we are in the guru's presence, the problems either shrink to something that's not so significant, or we generally forget what the problem was in the first place. Because the presence of the personality is so big and there's nothing but remembrance of Krishna. There is some Krishna conscious lesson for us, you know, we become more aware of our own whatever is going on, something like that. So when we interact with each other, it's not like, you know, it's all always remember Krishna, Prabhu, it's not like that. But just that we are dressed as devotees enhances our remembrance of Krishna. We see the tilak on their face, the dhoti, the bead bag. It's supposed to enhance remembrance of Krishna. From our side, are we remembering Krishna or no? So that's our contribution to each other's Krishna consciousness. And there's always room for a little, you know, something lighter, something. But overall, it should not be that we hang out with devotees and we don't remember Krishna at all. Someone else had their hand raised? Karunanidhi Prabhu? He wants to give it to Bhakta Glad.
Thank you, Prabhu.
The prayers for honoring prasadam are very beautiful and inspiring, and but then comes the reality of going down the line and looking at all this prasadam, and there are certain things that this is, oh, look at that, that's a favorite, or that's a favorite. Is it better to stay away from the favorites and eat?
No. It is, if there are favorites at this and that, we just acknowledge that this is where I am. I can't artificially eat what's something that's not your favorite. Rasgulla for Daita, but what's your not favorite? Daita just won't eat rasgulla. It's like, oh no.
I just like prasadam. So,
all right. So it's not like you have to force yourself to do something counter just to teach ourselves a lesson. Ideas with development of Krishna consciousness. Whatever comes. One principle that we can all do is whatever that day Krishna gives, that's what we take. Today this is what Krishna is giving. Some days I like it, some days I don't.
What about...
And this answer is difficult for me to give because I'm very picky about what I eat. I'm very, very picky. But I'm also learning. I'm learning to say, somehow Krishna is only giving me things that I like.
And the practical side, also, like, you know, I'm one of the people who advocate for oatmeal. So that's not part of the...
I know.
So should we give that up?
No, no.
No?
No, no. If I felt you should give that up, I would have never allowed it to happen in the first place. No, no. I want the devotees to eat and be happy and be healthy. So that's okay. I'm not advocating everyone should have fried... eggplant and fried this and fried that and fry out. I'm not advocating that. We just can't digest it. It's not within us to do so. Krishna can digest anything. We can't. So we eat. But the thing is, the point we're making is not that we eat this or that. The point is, some days or whatever, something comes up, it's like, oh, today this is what Krishna wants me to have. Or whatever comes, it's not from a sense gratification. Krishna's prasadam. Today, this is how it is. Going out of our way to say, oh, what is all this? I have to have my granola today. That would be a little over the top. Is that okay? The principle of sense gratification is... the countermeasure for problems of sense gratification is this way, that we have been using our senses so much in gratification of, you know, the body, but now we have to engage in the gratification of senses in Krishna's service. It's sense gratification only. I mean, who eats like us? You see the Mayavadis, what they eat? Peanuts or raisins and nothing, perhaps. We can eat pizza and be really happy. Of course we do. But sense gratification in Krishna service. We sing, dance. For most spiritualists, this is a little shocking. Like, what is this? They're dancing. If you go to a Hindu temple, nobody dances, nobody speaks. It's all silent. We're dancing. When I first saw the devotees dancing, I thought they were straight from the asylum or someplace. Like, what are they? Who are these people? I told the Hemangi, let's leave the temple right away. Something's wrong with these people. And Krishna's sense of humor is the first thing that he gave me. The greatest taste was to dance at Kirtan. The most joyful thing for me, because I can't do it anymore, but it's a joyful thing for me to see the devotees dancing. So it's like that, the sense gratification, once we went serve Krishna in a varieties of ways, that's gratification. Our senses are naturally happily engaged. Karunanidhi Prabhu, no end.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for your explaining. And here is some very nice thing. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter that somebody, one devotee asked, you know, I am agitated now because sense, your sense towards sex, something, no? Then he answered, then you must be more engaged in deity worship. So those who have more agitation towards sense gratification, they are recommended to do deity worship, you know. And another thing, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a nice verse that Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai, you know, Ramananda Rai is explaining to Mahaprabhu that how Krishna is called Dhira Lalita. He is in a greatest sense gratifier. He puts, you know, women as subjugated to, you know, like subjugated states. That means here Srila Prabhupada explained in that purport that the sense gratification in spiritual world and sense gratification in the material world is quite opposite. Like sense gratification in spiritual world is just like gold, and sense gratification in material world is just like iron. Iron fist. Just like a difference like life and death. Like that. And one more thing also, one very nice question. Also, why the tendency is coming to gratify senses? In Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam also it is stated that because of mode of passion, that is why it is coming, the sense to gratify senses. So, and another question also to you, because you always answer me nicely. Thing is, one question is coming to mind. That is, demigods, they are in mode of goodness. And Prajapatis, they are mode of passion. Because they progenitors, you know, so many progenitors. And another is mode of ignorance, the Lord of, you know, ignorant is like Shiva and all this. But my question is, although they are in mode of goodness, demigods, still why they are inclined for more sense gratification, which is causing them to forget Krishna?
Because from Bhagavad Gita we understand that the modes are not purely goodness or passion or ignorance. The modes are always competing with each other. The mode of goodness is competing with passion and ignorance. Passion is competing with goodness and ignorance. Ignorance is competing with goodness and passion. There's always this mix. And because there is mix, primarily they may have goodness lifestyle, but there is tendencies of passion and ignorance. So sometimes you see the demigod, suddenly they do things that are inexplicable. Like, what? How did he get so upset and curse them like that? Or, you know, there's in the 9th canto, Vashishta Muni, he curses. And they curse him back. That you, although you're a Brahmana, you're the teacher for all the demigods, you've acted in ignorance. And they curse him back. And Prabhupada writes, Vashishta Muni was in the mode of ignorance at that time. So there's always tinges of this mode of nature, that mode. Although primarily they're in the mode of goodness.
And Vishwamitra, they are fighting each other.
They're always fighting each other.
So then Vishwamitra
they're fighting for many thousands of years. Then you sometimes wonder, if the sages are behaving like that, what will happen to us?
Thanks for your class, Prabhu. It's always wonderful.
Thank you. You can have prasad.
I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada used, these are just some things that come to mind, you know. Prabhupada said, sense gratification, that's all they know.
That's so, all.
And my understanding of sacrifice, I think I heard it says, sacrifice means denying the satisfaction of the senses.
That's austerity.
Okay. And then I remember, if one is a wealthy person and he has to come down to a lower level of sense gratification, he suffers. You've heard that before?
Yes.
And then I was thinking of...
unless it's in service to Krishna.
Okay.
Because there are many persons who came to Prabhupada who came from very, very rich families. Giriraj Maharaj came from such a rich family. And you've seen the size of my office, right? Giriraj Maharaj's sister had such a big room just for her shoes. So he came from such a family. And where was he? In Mumbai, in the marsh, fighting mosquitoes and rats. Because that's where Prabhupada told him to stay to build a temple. And he was lying down in that marsh wearing flip-flops and dhoti was torn and mosquitoes were biting them. Devotees were falling sick with malaria and dysentery. And his father came to see him and started crying. What is this? My prince-like son living in such places. And Giriraj Maharaj told him, I'm very happy.
I was thinking Ford was like that. I remember... I remember reading something about him. He said when he was little, he thought everybody lived like that, you know, because he was kind of, you know, really sheltered. Then I was thinking, it says we're not to be attached to delicious food.
Really?
We're not, well, I mean...
No, I'm disappointed.
Because I remember in New Vrindavan, they would serve him oat water and told him to be satisfied with that, you know. That was kind of like a...
Anyone wants to move there?
Pardon me?
I said, anyone want to move there?
Some devotees would go there and then come back here. They couldn't handle the...
Murari told me that he has traveled to many, many, many temples and Kishore Prasadam is the most opulent among all. This is one reason to not go, remember.
There's a thing in the Bible that says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul? Let's see. Oh, probably. And then Bhaktisiddhanta said that sense gratification is like salt. You can't have too much or too little. You have to have just the right amount.
And no problem there. I think we're good with that one.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, you know, the austerities people go to for sense gratification, the devotees would go to Sankirtan and they go to like a Bears game or something. And there would be Bears fans out there when it's below zero and they'd be partaking in the game in the stands where if they wanted to, they could just watch it at home on TV, you know. But somehow or other, they have to get out there with the crowd. It's very deceptive.
Yesterday we gave it a term. There is something called bhakti rasa. That's the enjoyment you get in bhakti. And then there is called bhakti rasa. The enjoyment in sense gratification. They sound the same, they look the same, but they're not the same. Bhakti rasa and bhakti rasa.
Then we say some live to eat and some eat to live. And then there was that one... person, go for the ghee. Whatever you do, you know, go for the ghee. You remember, you know that story?
Ranam kritva ghritam pibet bhasmi bhutasya dehasa kim punaragataha. This is Charvak Muni's phrase. Yeah. Prabhupada calls him Charvak Muni. Because he would say, doesn't matter. You should always eat in ghee. And if you don't have money to buy ghee, then you should beg, borrow or steal.
Yes.
And money, so you can eat in ghee. Because you should enjoy. After all, this is only one life. After this, the body is going to turn into ash. What's there? Enjoy life. That's why he's called Charvak Muni. And the word Charvak means Charuvakya. Charu means very pleasing. Vakya means speech. He has very pleasing speech. Please enjoy in ghee. Ah, sounds so nice. Charvakuni.
Sometimes here they would advocate using ghee for all the preps, but then they said it was too expensive. Is that right?
Well, one is it is expensive. Second, the ghee is not the right ghee. It's high cholesterol ghee. And the third is, with so much ghee, we'll have to move our temple to Cook County Hospital. Just meet up there, find a room, make that. We can't digest it.
I was thinking of there's, I don't know if you were here, but when this was when Sunil was here, they were putting in a new floor in the kitchen, and there was these Irish guys here, and they came at prasadam time and had all this opulent prasadam, and we asked them, they said, would you like some, you know, breakfast and stuff? And he says, no, I see what it does to you guys. So, anyways, those are just a few things. Oh, and then one other thing is, I think, was it Prabhupada called or Bhaktisiddhanta called the Ramakrishna mission, the chicken mission?
I don't know. Perhaps there is some comment. It's live broadcast.
Okay, well, we'll stop there.
Yes, Hare Krishna. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.